Hello and welcome to another episode of the Undetected Narcissist podcast. This content here is bonus material, and I really felt like it was important to share this with all of you because there does come a moment when we have to stop and say, when have we stopped being human? When have we stopped being human to each other? And I had an experience yesterday that prompted me to create this bonus material. And it really spoke to me. And when you think about all the podcasts that I've created where I talk about trauma, I talk about abuse, I talk about parts, I talk about the map of consciousness, I talk about kindness and compassion and understanding and wisdom and just looking at your world from a different perspective, a more positive perspective instead of a negative perspective. And I like to look at it as those are filters. And yes, when you've been traumatized and you're stuck in anger, you're disappointed, you're frustrated, there are moments where you just want to shut down everybody and everything and just be left alone. And that can be really, really sad. I personally think it's really sad because you're not really being your authentic self, and your view of the world is just not where I would say it should be. I mean, it might be where it needs to be right there in that moment. And you can sit with that for as long as you like, but it's hurting you. It's not supporting you. It's not supporting life. It's taking life away from you. And so I wanted to share this story, this experience that I had yesterday that just kind of shocked me. And if you're an empath like myself, I want you to be grounded when I share what I experienced and witnessed yesterday, because it can be rather disturbing to some individuals, but it's so important. It's really, really important because it takes everything I've talked about and everything that I have shared with all of you into this perfect example of what it means to be human and what it means to see someone who is stuck in trauma, literally stuck in trauma, and how people react and how people respond to them and how people view them from, let's say, an outside perspective. And so I'm a health nut kind of person. I've always been. And yesterday morning, I love to exercise. I really do. That's my stress relief. I need some kind of positive, healthy outlet. And for me, that's exercise. I love to exercise and just be fit and healthy and listen to music and all that good stuff. And so I went to the gym this morning and I parked my car and I was looking in my rearview mirror and I saw a person slumped over sitting in a wheelchair, and they were all alone and they were about two car rows back in, you know, this big parking structure. And they were, their back was faced to me, and I saw on the back of their backpack, it looked like they were rather immature, I have to say. It was just my observation. They had a childlike backpack that looked like a little blue and purple fuzzy monster, and it was rather cute. And I first thought, well, maybe this person's disabled person's support worker is maybe in Goodwill or maybe in a store or something, and this is where they wanted to be. And I'm going to honor that. And so I go into the gym, I do my thing, I come out, I get in my car, I look in my rear view mirror, and the person is still there in the wheelchair by themselves. And I'm looking and I'm looking and I realize all this person's stuff is like spread out on the ground. And then I realize this person has no legs. Yeah, no legs. How can they stand up or even pick up their stuff that's on the ground? Where is their support person? Why are they outside like this, you know, in the morning? And there's other cars, all these other cars in the parking structure, but why hasn't anyone come over and talk to this person or even, you know, see if they're okay? And so something in me was like, you got to get out and you got to go see if this person's all right. And so I did. And I knew that I was pressed for time, just like everybody else is. I try to work out in the morning before I take my kiddo to school. And so I literally had like maybe 5 to 8 minutes to be supportive in this moment. And so I walk over and I look at this person and my heart dropped. Now, if you're empathic, or even if you're just ground yourself here, okay? Just ground yourself. I look at this person and it was clear as day they were recently released from a hospital because this guy had both of his legs from the knees down amputated. And I could see literally, it had to be like a 10-inch scar that was totally red with, maybe an inch and a half or two inch staples still across all the scars. I mean, it's a horrible visual to think about, but I'm thinking in my mind as I look at him, where is this person's disability support worker? Where? Why is he released from the hospital? Where is, if he's in a foster care system or disability, where? Why isn't somebody here? How can this possibly be happening? I mean, all these thoughts were running through my head as I look at this man. And the guy, literally, I think, maybe was in his 30s or 40s. And so I had to ground myself in that moment. I had to, like, not be traumatized by what I was seeing because it was rather traumatic even for me. And so I got myself in that good spot and I looked at this man. And he looks up at me and I say, how can I help you? Why are you here? How can I help you? Is there anyone here to help you? And the guy looked at me and he was like, yeah, I could really use some help. He's like, I am hungry. I am thirsty. I am cold. And I looked at the guy's legs and the guy was literally in his tidy whitey underwear with a white tank top and just a really thin coat. And it was not very warm outside. It was overcast. And I just, you can hear when I talk about this still, it was just so heartbreaking. And the guy starts, I could tell he was totally in trauma. And he starts doing the friends, wanting me to tell me his whole life story. And he puts his hand down on his left knee and he's saying, I had a blood clot in my knees and the doctors couldn't save it. And so they had to amputate my legs. And I'm like, okay. And I could tell he wanted to just go into his whole story, but I looked at him and I said, hey, I really want to be supportive of you. I have to take my kiddo to school in like 5 minutes. What can I do for you here? What can I do? Can I call someone for you? What can I do? You know, where's your family? What can I do? And he looks at me and he says, oh, I come from a great family. My family is, you know, I come from a really good family. And I'm thinking to myself, well, if that is true, where is your family? But of course, I'm not going to, you know, verbally say that. And so I'm like, hey, I have some food in my car. I can give you food. I don't have any water. I drank it all. I don't have any money, but what can I do for you? Can I pick up the stuff that's on the ground? I see you have a bag there. Are you okay and comfortable with me picking up your stuff? I'll put it in the bag and I'll just put it over here. And he said, yes, I can't do it myself. I can't pick it up. I mean, and the guy looks at me and he could tell I was a little hesitant because some of it was, you know, rather close to him in the wheelchair. And he looks right at me in my eyes and says, I know you're a good person. I'm not going to hurt you. I would never hurt you. I looked at him and I said, I know I'm a good person and I'm not going to hurt you either. And I know you're not going to hurt me. I just want to help you. I really want to help you. And so I said, let me pick up your stuff. Here, I'm going to pick it up. I'm going to put it in the bag. And I saw that he had a container of ice cream. And he's like, yes, I need my fork, my fork. It's on the ground there. I need it to eat my ice cream. And I'm thinking, how do you eat ice cream with a fork? And so I pick up his fork. I pick up his other stuff. And I pick up his ice cream. And his ice cream was all melted. And when he took the cap off the ice cream, he's trying to sip it. And this guy had a full-grown beard. He's getting ice, you know, melted ice cream all in his beard and his mustache. And I'm just lovingly looking at this guy with just so much compassion for his situation because I know trauma. Oh, I know it way too well. I have been there. I've seen it in my son. I've seen it in other people. And it's just, I want to help. That's really what I want to do. And I thought to myself while I was picking up his stuff, when do we stop being human? I mean, this guy was sitting there for at least an hour, totally cold, lost, alone, stuck in trauma. No one came up to him to help him. No one came over and tried to support him or see, well, what can I do for you? Nobody did. And that really disappointed me. And it reminded me of a story that I heard when I was in a psychology class when I was in college, right when I got out of high school. And it was about a woman that was beaten and killed in the middle of a apartment complex courtyard. And all the people in the apartment, you know, around the courtyard were out on their balconies watching this happen. Nobody stopped. Nobody went down and helped this woman. And that story, like, really shook me to my core because it's like, when do we stop being human? It only had to take one or two, maybe three people. I mean, heck, someone could have grabbed a frying pan or just, you know, why didn't someone do something? Why? Why do we stop being human? I mean, it's so sad. If I look at it, if it was your brother, your sister, your best friend, your mom, your dad, because this is a human being that I was dealing with, a person that is someone's child, and they're stuck in trauma, and they need help, and maybe he escaped the place that he was at. Maybe he's just clearly mentally unstable and doesn't know what's the best thing for him. I mean, and I knew that he wasn't all mentally there. And this is how I knew he wasn't all mentally there. Was one, his backpack. Okay, that, I mean, a man his age normally doesn't have a backpack like that. And then two, he had Legos. He had a McDonald's box that he had all his Legos in, and his Legos were spread out. And as I was picking up his Legos, I'm like, oh, you like Legos? And he's like, yes, those are my Legos. I love Legos. And I was thinking, wow, this man, I mean, it's hard for me to talk about this. I hope you know. And so I helped him out. And he was very, very grateful. And he looked at me and I looked at him and I realized he needed to be seen. He needed to be heard. He needed kindness and compassion and someone to just be there. Just be there. And as I'm looking at him and as I'm hearing him, he smiles at me and says, "Thank you. Not many people have shown me kindness. Not many people have wanted to help me out, and so thank you. I really appreciate you. Thank you." And he's like, "I'm not a rich man. I don't have anything to give you, but I would like to show my gratitude to you being nice and kind to me." And I was like, "No, no, no. You don't have to do anything. This is my gift to you, okay? I want to help you out. I mean, who can I call?" He's like, "I don't know who you can call." "Well, where did you come from? You know, do you have a disability support person? How did you get out of the hospital?" And the guy couldn't even really tell me. He was so stuck in trauma, like, so I could tell his mind was like trying to find reason and meaning to his situation, and he literally couldn't. And it was so hard. And I said, "I'm sorry, but I have to leave now. I have to go home. I have to help out my kiddo." And he even offered to come with me and help out my kiddo, which was super, super sweet. But I was like, "No, I can't do that." You know, I said, "But I really would, I want you to get help, okay? I really do. I want you to get help. And I really hope that you recover. And I'm sorry you're in this situation. And I just... I'm sending you good vibes your way, okay? And, you know, just be well, and I'll see what I can do." And so I get in my car, and I was struggling. I was really, really struggling, because this was a moment of someone that really needed someone, and I know he was mentally unstable, and homelessness is, like, so terrible where I live right now. It's just... I hate it. I mean, I just really hate it. And so I go home and I get my kiddo ready, and we're driving my kid to school, and I drive past the gym, and I'm telling my kid the story, and my kid looks over there, and the guy's still in the parking lot. And I told him, I said, "When I get home, I'm going to call the police. I'm going to call the police, non-emergency, and I'm going to talk to them and have them come out and help them, because I don't know who else to call. I really don't." And so I drop off my kiddo, I come back home, and on the way back, he was still in the parking lot, same exact spot. And then when I'm home, within minutes later, it starts dumping rain, just so loud. And I'm thinking in my mind of this man in his wheelchair without his legs, and it's pouring rain and he's freezing cold. And I gotta tell you, when it's the non-emergency police number, they're not very quick to pick up. And so I was on hold for probably at least 10 to 15 minutes. And I'm just thinking the whole time, this guy, I hope he can move himself to a place where he's covered, where he can stay dry, and maybe someone can help him. And when the person finally picked up the phone, and I'm talking to this lady, and I'm telling her the situation, and I'm trying to tell it in the most delicate way, where I'm like, "Hey, there's this man that's in a wheelchair. He's just recently been released from the hospital. His legs were amputated. It looks like his incisions are infected because they're really, really red. He is stuck in trauma mode. He is in the friends mode, in the freeze mode." And I said, "I know all about trauma. And when you go to talk to him, you need to be delicate. Please, you need to know that he is in a place of trauma when you talk to him. You can't come to him being forceful and being rude or disrespectful to this guy." And the woman on the other line says to me, "What? You talk to him?" And I thought to myself, there was a part of me, and if you know, I talked all about parts, there's a part of me that when she said that, I am a fierce warrior of, you do the right thing. And I almost wanted to start lecturing her. I honestly have to say, like, do you know about human decency? I mean, do you know how to respond to someone with trauma? Do you know anything about trauma? Do you know about abuse? I mean, it's like, if you had your legs amputated, would you, you know, in his situation, would you want someone to come over and help you because you are not in the mental state to be outside like that? Wouldn't you want someone to come and be that lifeline for you? Wouldn't you? But of course, I held my tongue. I wasn't going to, you know, rip her a new one, even though, you know, part of me, yes, part of me wanted to, but I wasn't going to do that. And it really irritated me too, how she, it almost felt like by the tone of her voice that, you know, I was crazy or I was stupid to even walk over and talk to the guy and show him any kindness or try to be there for him. I mean, I just, that bothered me a lot. And I hope you can tell. Yeah, that bothered me a lot because I'm not that type of person. I'm human. Okay. And I'm not going to stop being human just because that I was traumatized by a person, or let's say if I was in the position of working for the police and I'm taking these calls and stuff. No, I'm going to stay human. I'm going to be true to me, my authentic self. That's who I need to be. And so why I'm really sharing this with you is I want you to be human. I want you to remember that you are human. And trauma doesn't have to change you or transform you for the rest of your life. It can be temporary. I don't want you to become bitter and angry and resentful for the rest of your life. I don't want you to close people off when good, kind, caring people want to support you. And the biggest thing about all of this is he needed to be heard. He needed to be seen. He needed someone to be nice to him. And when he shared that he hadn't had many people be nice and kind and genuine to him, that really said to me that the people that were around him or trying to be supportive did not know about PTSD, did not know about trauma, did not know about how, I mean, if I had my legs amputated and I couldn't walk again, that would be traumatic for anybody. How could you not be human? How could you not? And so I really want you to take to heart this story because it impacted me so much. It really, really did. And he's not there anymore. I mean, I went and picked up my kiddo from school yesterday. He wasn't there. I mean, I looked and he wasn't there today when I went to the gym, which was another positive thing. And I really hope in my heart, in my soul, that he is in a warm bed, that he is in a place that is nurturing and is supportive and is helping him heal and recover. And so I know this is a really deep podcast right here. It is, but this is my truth. You know, I care about human beings. I care about humanity. I care about our future. I care about you. And I don't know you, but I care about you. And that's why I say, you know, like even narcissistic people, a lot of times they're misunderstood, and a lot of times I want to think they really don't understand sometimes how bad they hurt other people. Because they're coming from this wounded, immature place of themselves, or they just weren't taught that, okay? But you hopefully were taught that. Hopefully you were taught to be a good person and a kind person and to know when to stop. to know when to stop and be like, hey, something's not right here. Hey, I need to take 5 minutes out of my time and just see if this human being is okay. What can I do? What can I do? How can I help them be seen and be heard and just show some kindness? What can I do? So I want to put out a little shout just to let all of you know that if any of you want to meet me, any of you want to hear me speak or get a book signing or have any questions or just are curious, you know, you want to pick my brain. I will be in Portland on June 4th and 5th. I will be at the DoubleTree by the Hilton Hotel in Portland at the Metaphysical and Wellness Fair. I will be there. And then I will also be at another one of their fairs in Eugene, Oregon on June 25th and the 26th at the Lane Events Center. So if you'll want to just come by and say hello, chat, whatever, have me sign your book, that would be great. I want you to have a fantastic day. I want you to smile. I want you to be your authentic self. I want you, maybe just try this out, okay? If a friend of yours is struggling or even a coworker, you just notice something is a little bit off, I want you to just test this out and be human. And maybe just walk over to that person and just smile. And even just smiling at a person and saying, hey, I hope you have a great day. Or even just smiling and say hi. And let them know that they are seen. And if they say something back, you can respond and let them know that they were heard. But we need each other, especially in this moment right now in our lives. Our world is so chaotic and so crazy. We need each other. We need to be nice to each other. So maybe just try that out. You could try it out today. You could try it out in a couple of days, but if you come across another human being that you just really feel like, hey, I want to do an act of kindness. Some people call it pay it forward. You want to pay it forward? Pay it forward. But be what we all need, please. So thank you for listening, and you have a beautiful day. Bye.